Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got Joshua Phillip on the line with me. Joshua is an editor and the senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times, the only print newspaper, I guess I have to say, that I read whenever I get it. I do have a subscription to the hard copy, and I typically get a couple copies a week. These guys are really, really good. They are experts, for lack of better terms, on China. And Charlotte, who will be following up after we're done with Joshua here, Charlotte is an boots on the ground expert and what's going on in Mexico. Two topics, China and Mexico, that are very, very relevant to what's going on in politics right now. A lot of people, Josh, are very worried about China from an economic standpoint and also from, from a trade standpoint and also from an infiltration, for lack of better term, standpoint. Should we worry about them, in your opinion, in terms of what's going on with trade?
Very, very much so. I would say the most recent red flag, the one that really got some attention, was the China 2025 project. When they announced this, they announced it as an internal program meant to replace, you know, the U.S. basically as the world technological leader. Now, when a lot of the terms the Chinese Communist Party uses are loaded terms. They have deeper meaning than you would immediately interpret if you don't know their kind of internal doctrine.
Okay.
China 2025 was pretty direct in its agenda, right? It ties into the One Belt, One Road initiative, them going to, you know, Africa, Latin America, Europe, trying to build infrastructure projects, and then managing those infrastructure projects after. But packaged in with that are, you know, their new GPS replacement, for example, their new U.S.-led internet system replacement, you know, an internet separate from the U.S.-led internet that can connect with it, but that can be, you know, separated on a dime. Technology into the infrastructure, such as the, you know, Golden Shield, the system, things meant for social control, totalitarian social control, and also the, you know, requirements that the Chinese Communist Party will manage this infrastructure after it's built. If you look into their ideas, technological leadership,
Josh, I got a question. You talk about social intervention. I want to talk about that shortly, but not right now. Right now, the big concern with our listeners and with virtually the big concern that's being expressed in the total media in the United States, the biggest concern that's expressed by our president, Donald Trump, is basically the danger that they pose to us from a trade standpoint. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, well, China's running circles around us with unfair trade practices. You know, we trade at a loss. We don't get a whole lot out of it. Our factories are going to China. When you sell off your factories, you sell off your manufacturing capability. You sell off not just the factories, but even the resource channels, supply. You know, the supply channels. You sell off. You know, they're going to Africa, Australia, different countries, buying up mines. They run the market for the rare earth minerals, which are needed for smartphones, you know, computers, you name it, solar panels, you name it. So when you're talking about them overtaking, say, U.S. manufacturing, global manufacturing, it's not just the factories. It's the whole, you know, nine yards, everything that goes with it. Logistics, raw materials, know-how. They're doing gray markets where they're manufacturing, say two production, you know, schedules of the product and then one for their own domestic market. It's they're learning how to do it. For them, this is, you know, some of the U.S. companies in the long run. They're working with them until they can replace them. And in addition to that, they're using technology theft, they're hacking our networks, stealing our information, they're diverting traffic through China Telecom, which they've been caught doing. They've been sending students to companies for internships, learning how to do stuff and bringing it back to China. They're not just copying the technology, they're even copying management structures, how to run the companies. And then the Chinese Communist Party gives these companies money. They're able to trade at a loss And so no U.S. company is capable of competing with them. Once they shut out their competition, then they then control the market. And they can, well, and they're using this method in countries in the world. They're going, they're moving quickly on it too. It's tied into long-term direct guidance from the Chinese Communist Party, the latest being China 2025, but many other Project A63 Torch program, you know, many, many just like it.
I have to say, Joshua, the Chinese race, who I have an awful lot of respect for, I don't know if you remember or not, but my parents basically grew up in China. They have a totally different concept, and I've said this numerous times on the show on time frames. Now, China has been doing this for a long time, and the longer you're doing something, the better you get. And I have to say, when you talk about the gray market, which really did spike my interest, they're getting to be very, very good, and that's very, very dangerous for the United States.
Yeah, fully agreed. I think one important thing to clarify is the Chinese Communist Party destroyed a lot of the traditional Chinese values. They've tried to merge their identity with that of the Chinese people. They do not represent the Chinese people, though. This is a totalitarian regime that has killed somewhere between, you know, 50 and 70 million Chinese people in the last, you know, few decades. This is a totalitarian regime that has brought in social controls, the likes of which I don't think even Orwell could have imagined. It does not represent the Chinese people. And during the Cultural Revolution and other movements, it not only, I'd say, destroyed the culture, but even killed those who wanted to hold on to it.
Yeah.
It's true that they kept a lot of the deception that was involved in traditional Chinese warfare, things like Sun Tzu and such, you know, which is real. But I would say that they tossed out the good parts. There were plenty of very righteous concepts, in my opinion, that existed in traditional warfare that they did. They kept the deception. They kept the kind of, you know, cloak and dagger type stuff, the smoke and mirrors type stuff, but
right. All
the good tossed out.
Well, the thing that I was referring to really was Chinese people who I know in the United States. Many of them were fairly recent immigrants, but many of them also were not fairly recent immigrants. Many of them had been here for a couple of generations. And right now, for example, Vancouver, British Columbia, which is just a scant 45 minutes north of where I'm sitting right now, is practically, I would say they are probably 40% Chinese, and a very high percentage of the remaining 60% would be like another Asian group of people, Koreans, for example. But Chinese are very, very bright. They're very, very conniving. One thing a lot of people don't realize, we've got to wrap this thing up here in about 30 seconds or thereabouts. One thing people don't realize is China had the world's largest economy for years and years and years until the Opium Wars. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, it's true. You know, 5,000 years of history. I don't think any other country in the world has maintained the same basic system for that long. It's incredible. It's a very deep culture as well. You're talking about many dynasties. Every dynasty had its own dress, its own values, its own culture. You have, you know, military doctrine going back 5,000 years.
The problem is, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to. We've got to take a commercial break here. People really have to realize that China is a very, very, very formidable opposite to us. Josh Phillip, thank you so much, my man.